Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Welcome to 2019. I hope everybody had a blessed, awesome, safe night last night. And we're at it again, January 1st, 2016, hitting it hard as always. And we are here open at Health Masters as always. So we appreciate the support from last year and continuing through this year. And I just want to say thank you to all of our customers, all of our listeners. You guys have made it a pleasure helping you guys, and the support and emails and comments and everything we get from you guys on a regular basis has really, really made doing this way more enjoyable than if we got zero response from our customers. So thank you for that, guys. And it's time to start a new year once again. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Awesome. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Happy New Year to the to all of our listeners and all of our customers. Thank you, guys. I had the opportunity to pray for you for a wonderful and blessed New Year this morning. And thank you for listening today. We told you we'd be here. And no, this is not a tape show. We are live. It is right now 3:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are on the air. Got some scripture for you today. Love this. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and they will not be faint. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Psalm 98:1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. And guys, the verses like this could go on and on and on and on. So guys, thank you so much for allowing me to share these verses with you today and give you continued verses for the future and for a hope. And one more I want to cover with you too, and I love this one too. And guys, this is probably the best one out there. It's out of Jeremiah, and I'm pulling it up, and I should have had it pulled up, and I did not. But here it goes. It basically says his plan is to give you a hope and a future. And guys, this is what God wants of all of us to realize. He wants us to know that he has the hope of giving us a hope and a future. And with all things, Christ is possible. And guys, I want you to know something. You know, as we look at 2019 and as we basically, you know, realize all of this stuff has happened, you know, with Donald Trump, and these guys have gotten ahead of a lot of us in the curve, always remember, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope in a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Guys, it's so important that we keep our hearts and our minds focused on what God has done and what he's doing for us. Because, guys, it's going to be an interesting 2019. You know, Prager University basically has written another really, really good article. You know, Dennis Prager is basically an extremely good conservative Jewish politician, and I love this guy's stuff. He really, really is brilliant. And he goes, the left will make 2019 a dark year. He said, the progressives' goal is to weaken, disable, and impeach the president. Because I rarely make predictions of the election results or anything else. My policy has always been to see and say what I believe and should be done. I'm making an exception with 2019. Thanks to the less control of the House of Representatives and the news media, which is controlled, remember, through the Rothschilds, America will be kept in a fervid state through 2019 with innumerable hearings, exposés, criminal investigations, and possible indictments of those around the president, anything about the president himself. Trump will not be the point. Defamation will. Anything that might muddy the president, no matter how spurious, no matter how thin the evidence, will be pursued with gusto. The media will drop a bombshell after bombshell. If lives and careers are ruined, so much the better. The Robert Mueller investigation has alleged collusion between Trump campaign and the Russian government, which has led to guilty pleas and imprisonment of people around Trump for offense having nothing to do with the collusion. The goal of the left is to weaken, disable, and impeach the president is the heart mission to undo the 2016 presidential election. And then he says something that I love. If the Republicans had done anything comparable during the Obama, Gay Kenyon, I'm adding that, basically non-American citizen administration, I'm adding that, the Democrats and the media would not only have charged Republicans with racism, as they did, and labeled all criticism Barack Obama, they would have howled fascism. And for once, they wouldn't have been far from the truth. The misuse of government institutions for political ends is indeed a fascist tactic. But because the most media serve as propaganda Democratic Party, I'm adding this, through the Rothschild, Sabbatean, Kabbalah's synagogue of Satan owners, there'll be no protest from the media, only support. There is nothing Trump or any member of his administration has done that is comparable to Hillary Clinton's use of her own email server while U.S. Secretary of State, or destroying tens of thousands of emails that were subpoenaed by Congress or foreign governments and corporations paying vast sums of money to Bill Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, nor is there anything Trump or anyone in his administration has done comparable to the Obama administration's use of the IRS to suppress, conserve profits. It's selling guns to Mexican drug cartels, at least one of which later found at the scene where a Border Patrol officer was killed, or the lies it told about the cause of the U.S. murder of U.S. ambassador and the other three Americans in Benghazi. Yet any suggestion by Republicans that these activities be investigated is effectively shouted down by the Democrats and the mainstream leftist, communist, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan media. I'm adding that. And let's not talk about the real collusion of 2016 between the FBI, the State Department, the Clinton campaign, the Obama White House, using material sourced in part from the Russian government to determine and undermine the Republican candidate for president and his presidency. The mainstream media is simply not interested in the truth. Guys, you can go back and read the rest of this if you'd like. The truth of the matter is that this is a really big mess, and we're going to be dealing with this. Now, also, I'm going to read you a letter from Karen today. She sent me a really good letter, part of it, about what's really going on in the media, and she thanked us in the letter for not constantly focusing on this stuff. Now, here's why we don't do it. Here's why I don't tell you about Mueller every day or all these, or General Flynn and all this weirdo stuff. Not that those topics aren't important, but those topics are intentionally being used to mislead you and obfuscate you from the facts that we're being poisoned by 5G, we're being poisoned by fluoride, we're being poisoned by vaccines, we're being poisoned by glyphosate and Roundup, that we have a huge death rate now of people in the United States from all of the drugs they're being given. It's called iatrogenic diseases. We're not being told the truth about any of this stuff. Where is Trump's vaccine committee, his commission he's going to put out to determine the safety of vaccines? Where are all the things he promises? Where's the wall? Where are these things? You guys, this is why I don't talk about this stuff a lot, because why? It's all smoke and mirrors. When we start talking about the media and politics, it's smoke and mirrors. It's lies. It's bread and t-shirts for the doggone masses. That's all this is. I mean, these people are so triggered now by what they hear. The other day I watched a video, filthy language by the way, of a man in a vape shop trying to get some stuff for his wife for the night, wearing a Trump t-shirt and a Trump hat. The kid behind the counter went totally berserk, refused to serve him. It's got millions of views now. Started cursing and cussing and screaming and yelling as he hit the guy with the Trump hat and shirt on. And then he started squealing like a soy boy girly bound. I mean, it was unbelievable. And these people, these soy boys and these liberals, they're so easily triggered. All you have to ask them is this: why do you think Trump's a fascist? And they go insane. That's all you have to have. That's all you have to say. You don't have to ask them anything else. Why do you think he's a fascist? Had it happened to me on an airplane a year and a half ago in Athens, ask a girl who was a cheerleader, I believe it was at Clemson, why in the world Trump was a fascist, because she'd accused him of that. She went berserk and started screaming at me as we were walking toward the terminal. And I thought, all I asked her was to justify her beliefs. See, guys, here's the thing. If someone asks you, why do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Why do you believe that? You kind of need to have an answer. You kind of need to think through what the answer is going to be. If someone says to you, well, why do you think vaccines aren't safe? You kind of need to have an answer to that. If someone says to you, why do you think Hillary Clinton is a criminal? That's an easy answer, because that's like you have to bring your whole, you know, briefcase full of books on that. There's so much of that. But guys, we always have to have an answer who our hope is, why we have hope in Christ Jesus and who we are as Christians. Guys, I love you. So this show is going to continue like it's been going. It's been growing. It's been going to leaps and bounds. We are the only ones that touch these topics that we talk about because we don't get caught in the mud, in the mire of all of this weird little piddly stuff like running around behind us and underneath us stuff. All of that stuff is being used is through Tavistock. It's all mind control programming. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Austin, what's your first story?
Excellent info. Absolutely. Everybody needs to be versed and educated on what you're basically defending, what you may be arguing. And because we've seen this more and more now where the leftists really have no rebuttal. They have no response. They really have no platform to even argue. They're simply, their only mantra now is basically to scream and yell and cuss and throw a giant hissy fit. And the problem is a lot of them get away with it. Majority of people now have just found that it's easier not to have any conflict with them to basically, and I've talked about this repeatedly, basically just submit to them. Don't get any issues, don't get any arguments, don't bring up any topics, and that's really the entire goal of what they're doing and the whole reasoning behind why they're doing this is to promote and push the ideology of self-censorship, to not speak the truth, to not speak your mind, to reserve everything you have and keep it in your skull because you don't want to offend somebody. That's a dangerous place to live, and that's not a country that it's not a place that this country was founded on, and it's not something that I will continue to promote. Also, too, in other news, you guys know Wikipedia has a lot of good info on there. The platform that they've used for years, basically being a free encyclopedia and a fairly trusted source now of information on the internet. I mean, there's most of the information that we've seen on there's pretty factual. Occasionally, there's some stuff that may not be accurate, but for the most part, they've done a pretty good job at making the go-to source for many and specializing a lot of different coverage and different topics, some of which that a lot of people don't like to talk about or maybe fringe, but they still bring them up. And Wikipedia's been proud of this unique approach to content and allowing people that are basically approved to go in and add more information. And it's been a pretty cool page if you've really watched it grow, as I have over the last almost 20 years now. Unfortunately, individuals and organized groups such as anti-natural health skeptics have appeared to be able to infiltrate Wikipedia and the editorial community and use the free license to either delete or edit content related to scientific views that do not align with their own views or the mainstream mantra. Organized skeptic groups are actively targeting Wikipedia articles that promote natural, non-drug therapies which they do not agree. Right in the crosshairs of this content is basically one of the very, in my opinion, heavily mainstream healthcare cherished topics on cholesterol and the hypothesis related to heart disease. The new trick that some of these editors have been doing now is to rewrite and in some cases entirely remove pertinent information from some articles or worse, delete entire articles altogether. One such recent victim of Wikipedia's deletion is Scottish diabetes expert Dr. Malcolm Kendrick. If you run a Wikipedia search for Dr. Kendrick, you'll no longer find him because his page has been deleted by a self-styled anonymous expert. Why? Because his views on the cholesterol hypothesis did not match up with the self-styled anonymous expert. So what's being done now is content is being changed, modified, and deleted in some cases when it does not go with the mainstream mantra. We've already seen the bill that was pushed. It did not go through. It was basically vetoed by the governor in California, which I don't even know why, because he's so hardcore left, it's nauseating. But it was basically the bill to go in and criminalize any speech that talked negatively about vaccines. I don't have the bill number in front of me because basically the bill fell flat. But it was very, very clear, if you read the bill, what it was basically it wanted to make it illegal to go online and bring up topics about vaccine health and other very significant pertinent health topics that basically people questioned, including cholesterol, including vaccines. And it essentially made it illegal, and they wanted to ban it. They wanted to have it scrubbed off the internet. So as soon as somebody came up and said, I got a question, do you feel comfortable injecting your child with vaccines that have aborted fetal cell tissue in them? It's a question. Very, very real, factual question. And they say, you can't ask that question. You can't question vaccines like that. It's deleted. It's banned. It's illegal. You can't say that. Okay, I'll ask you another question. This is really, really broad. Do you know what's in the vaccines that you're shooting into your body? Oh, you can't ask that either. You can't question that. You can't possibly ask that question. We've already seen this happen in Australia when they put a giant billboard up for the vaccine awakening fund over there. They basically wanted to wake people up, put a billboard up. One question. Do you know what's in a vaccine? That's it. Question one. Nothing else. No other headline. No other. That's it. And they had a conniption fit. The Minister of Health over there literally flipped out on national television, basically said it was filth, that it was garbage, that they are not going to allow that type of propaganda to be promoted in their country. And of course, they had the billboard removed within like 3 or 4 days because somebody asked a question. Guys, you have to always start to be leery whenever you are not allowed to even ask a question, whether it be accurate, whether it be factual, whether it be something that's not even really relevant. Any point in time that you are told you cannot ask a question, that is a very, very slippery slope into a full-blown tyranny to the point where you are not even allowed to speak anything at a point in time. This is exactly what happened in the feudal system in England, one of the primary reasons, well, one of the reasons why we left that unbelievably tyrannical country, because you weren't even allowed to ask questions. If you said, why is King George increasing taxes on us? We already pay a significant amount of money in taxes. What are we funding with this new taxes? You can't ask that. How dare you question the king? Hang him from the bridge right now. You can't ask questions like that. You go, but, I just wanted to know what my taxes are going to. Go on, peasant. You can't ask those questions. Hang him quickly before anybody else hears him. That is literally the level that it reaches when you start allowing the government and certain entities to come in and say, you can't ask questions. You can't bring that topic up. You can't bring it up. You can't speak it. Those words are forbidden. Dangerous, dangerous place to be. Also, too, just to add into what we were talking about yesterday, Dad and I kind of talked briefly on some of the weird stuff that we've seen now with this transgender movement that's now seeding into the pedophilia movement. And as you guys know, Germany, which they ruled, is basically they ruled with a Bavarian lawmaker brought in law that basically said child marriages are not legal in Germany. And they passed it. Well, now Germany has come back in now. A federal court of justice has said the new law banning child marriage is declared unconstitutional. The whole aspect that even brought this up is child marriages were not even a topic in Germany up until about 10 years ago before the migrants massively started to invade that country. The case that was brought to the federal court was involving a Syrian couple of a 13-year-old girl that married her 21-year-old cousin. As if it already wasn't weird enough, her marrying her cousin, she's 13 and he's 21, who arrived at Germany at the height of the migrant crisis. The ruling, which effectively has now opened the door to legalize Sharia-based child marriages in Germany, is one of the growing number of instances in which German courts are promoting the establishment of parallel Islamic legal system in the country. The Federal Court of Justice, Germany's highest court of civil and criminal jurisdiction, has now ruled that the new law that bans child marriages is unconstitutional because all marriages, including Sharia-based child marriages, are protected by Germany's basic law. By shielding the Syrian couple from German law, the court has not only legitimized the use of Sharia law to determine outcomes of legal cases in Germany, it has also established a precedent that will almost certainly be used in the future by defenders of child marriages, pedophilia, and other Islamic-based laws. Guys, this is something they've been slowly trying to do to desensitize the population of Europe and of the entire world to make it okay. You got to remember, in the whole Islamic culture, it's okay for a 30-year-old man to marry a 10-year-old girl. It's perfectly okay. That's normal. That's normal to them. They have fully legalized pedophilia in Sharia law. And that's what they're trying to do all over Europe now because they have such a huge population footprint in those countries. And what's ironic to me is now I heard an article. I have yet to be able to come in and actually verify it first person. Somebody's seen this, but the New York Post did verify it. They said New York is now allowing Muslims to drive around in Muslim community patrol cars and enforce Sharia law in Muslim neighborhoods. They said the new MCP cars have been seen in certain New York City neighborhoods, and a frightening example of American laws being set aside for Sharia law to take over. According to the New York Post, these Muslim patrol officers also have official shirts with pseudo badges on the breast. The white Ford Taurus that was seen in a photo bears insignia nearly identical to those of an NYPD patrol car, with blue horizontal stripes down the sides, a shield on the front driver's side door, and words that say Muslim Community Patrol descending on the rear door. Now, whether or not New York law enforcement has actually allowed these to go through, or if this is something that the Muslims are taking upon themselves, but always remember, when you look at the Muslim population, once they start breaking into the 5 to 6% of the population, they start dictating their own laws without question. They start forcing their opinions on other people. They start trying to implement Sharia law without any type of due process, within any type of credit to the actual laws in the country that they have now invaded. This is what they do on a regular basis, and now if New York actually capitulates to this and allows these individuals to start running around, which I think they will because of how liberal New York City is, this will be the start of the Muslim Sharia law invasion in the United States on the East Coast. We've already seen in areas of Minnesota, areas of Michigan, where Muslim populations have completely taken over, and they have their own little communities now. They're almost all predominantly Muslim, and they literally operate on their own set of laws. This is the next step, because in my opinion, the basis of Muslim, as far as Islam, and the aspect of what they do is highly satanic. It goes against almost every biblical principle, including when you see pedophilia and other things of that sort. And so this is something that the New World Order is trying to push in connection, as we've seen with the Catholic Church and the Pope sitting down and actually recognizing Muslims and saying you don't necessarily have to go through Jesus to go to heaven, and all religions are similar if you go to the same place, essentially trying to blur the lines of Christianity and bring us together into a new world religion, which is the goal essentially of Lucifer, as we already know this, Dad.
Dawson, wow, you said a lot of stuff. Number one, the Sharia law is evident in a lot of different cities around the country now, and it's very prevalent in Europe. In Sweden, they basically are telling people they're going to go to prison now for 5 years, because a few weeks ago over Morocco, a couple of girls, one of them was in Sweden, got her head cut off while she was camping with another girl by these jihadists. I mean, they literally decapitated her. And they're saying now in Sweden that if you talk about this or put it out on social media, that they're going to charge you with a hate crime and you're going to go to prison for 5 years because you can't talk about it. It's basically telling you what you can and can't think. You know, you talked about this a minute ago with the transgender stuff. They don't want us to be able to say, that's not okay. I just got a video sent to me by a friend, and it was a pastor talking about transgenderism. And quite frankly, he did a horrible job. I know a lot of people got sent me emails on it. They sent it to me. They liked it. But what he did, the first 4 minutes of it, he was basically explaining why they're transgenders. In the last minute, he said basically God has, you know, a certain plan for you. Never once did he say it was a sin. Not once. Not once did he say it was a sin. Not once did he say, don't do this. Again, this is the politics, the religion of inclusion that's happening all over the United States. Like I said yesterday, we have a lady from a Lutheran offshoot church from the Lutheran Missouri Synod Group who's covered in tattoos, and she's running around basically using filthy, filthy language while she's preaching and basically telling people to go buy porn, like Paula White's husband, Trump's spiritual advisor in the White House, has said on national TV that Christian couples should get pornography. Now, I don't normally mention names, but since he said it on a national TV show, I just told you what he said. Now, Paula White didn't endorse this, as far as I know. All I know is the guy she married, who was a rock star guy, said this. Now, here's the problem. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor. He has one of these inclusion churches. He won't ever talk about, you know, homosexuality. We talked about this yesterday, if you want to hear yesterday's show. But he was invited to a party last night, a big gala down in Palm Beach. It was like the e-ticket for the whole country. It was like everybody wanted to be at this party. And he went there with his wife, and it was filled with alcohol, filled with boozing, filled with all of this stuff. This is an internationally known pastor. Now, you ask yourself a question, and here's the question I can ask you guys. Should a pastor, should a minister of the gospel, go to an event like this, to go to a party, when he's not being asked to speak or to pray over the food, when it's 90%, 95%, 98% heathen that are going to get drunk. And he sent me some pictures of him being at this party last night. And I kind of told him, I said, you know, I don't really understand this. And I said, you know, if you'd been asked to speak and pray and you went in and you were there to witness to people and you prayed and you left, okay, I got that. But that's not what happened. You kind of went there to go to a party. A few weeks ago, we had a party here at the house, December 15th. And we actually had about 100 people or so show up. And we had, you know, customers from this area and a lot of other people showed up for the party. And I put on the invitation. This is a non-alcohol party. Non-alcohol. We're not going to do alcohol. And we just did an alcohol. And then one of the people at the party invited me to their house this past weekend. And I'm assuming it was a non-alcohol party. I'm assuming they're Christians. And I get there, and it's a booze fest. I mean, it's a big, it's a drunk party. I mean, people run around spilling beer, drinking mixed drinks, talking about how drunk they're going to get. So we get there. I sat there for a moment, for a few minutes, looked at the fireworks and looked at the basic light display they had. Very, very, very uncomfortable. Bible says, come ye up among them, touch not the unclean thing, be separate. And, you know, we ate a few things that we could eat, a couple of carrots. Basically, that was it. Some olives. And then I basically said, I told the guy who was there, well, we have to leave now. And we left. We didn't stay. We didn't stay until 11 or 12 o'clock. And when we got there at 6, left like at, you know, 6:30. It was one of those deals. And you know, you think, I should have asked where I went. Now, let me say something to you guys. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know why you're going to a party. Maybe you're going somewhere to get somebody saved. I don't know. But let me look at this. Look at it from this perspective. My mom, after my parents got divorced, she opened a German beer tavern. And every single New Year's Eve, we'd have a party in the tavern. And we'd actually close the doors, lock the doors, close the curtains, put private event, and only allow our good customers to be there, our patrons, our good bar flies, I guess you could say. And remember, I'm not saved. And I would go to these parties, and there were a lot of friends I had in there, and I would have a good time. Now, here's the thing. The fancy party my pastor friend went to last night, it was the same spirit, just better clothes. I'm going to repeat that. It was the same spirit, just better clothes. This is not the spirit of the Holy Spirit. This is not God's frequency running through us. The people down in Palm Beach where he went to this party, these are pedophiles. These are perverts. These are the Jeffrey Epstein groups. This is the group of people down there that like to have little girls, little boys on the Lolita Island. That's this group at this party. Now, the question is this. Should a pastor who's the minister of the gospel with a church in that area on local TV go to that party just because he wants to go to a party and not in an official sanctioned event such as going in there and praying? And so you guys can make your own decision on all this. But the thing about it is we have to think through this. I mean, all of these things have different ramifications. If he's going there to get somebody saved, why does he just invite that person to his office, you know, during the week and counsel them or invite them to church or have some of one of his friends who know him go there? We've got to be very careful with the slippery slope of inclusion. Then all of a sudden we start inviting the transsexuals to church and not asking them to repent. We start inviting the pedophiles to church and not asking them to repent. We start inviting the Kabbalist Jews with gematria to come to the church and not ask them to repent and accept Jesus Christ. We start inviting the Muslims to come to church, not repent, not accept Jesus Christ, and everybody gets saved. This is exactly what Austin said a minute ago. This is the ministry of inclusion that's happening all over the United States because we've compromised. Because, like Austin said a minute ago, it's the self-censorship. They want you to shut up. And they want you to just go ahead and accept everything they tell you to accept, or you're a racist, or you're a fascist, or you're a Nazi, or you're an anti-Semite, or you're a bigot. And so they bring the names out. When they can't justify what they're telling you to do, they have to attack you individually or attack your character. I had a guy who wanted to come on the show a few months ago, and basically he is really a hardcore Catholic. Well, I don't agree with hardcore Catholicism. I believe the Catholic Church has been really, really compromised. And he basically called me a heretic because I told him that I wasn't going to allow him to come on the show and promote Catholicism. And he says, never contact me again, you heretic. And I'm like, okay, don't worry, that won't happen. I won't call you again. But, and in fact, he called me to be on the show. But here's the problem that we have, Austin, and the listeners, please stay with me for a second. If you have a specific reason to go to one of these parties, or you get trapped at one of these parties, and you can witness for a second, it's like saying, I'm going to go down to the local bar on Friday night. You know, I had a problem with drinking before I got saved, but I kind of like the bar scene. And I might be able to find a couple of good girls there that I can hook up with or whatever. And I'm just going to go down there and I'll hopefully won't drink too much so I go to church on Sunday morning. The word says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. It's like, I'm only going to do a few lines of coke tonight because I'm saved now. Or I'm only going to get, you know, drink a case of beer because I'm saved. Or I'm only going to go out with a few whores this weekend because I'm saved. Ah, come on, guys. The Bible says, should we continue to sin to sin may, so that grace may increase? By no means we died to sin. How can we live it any longer? So I'm not judging you. Like I told you the other day, if you want to have a beer or a glass of wine, whatever. I mean, Jesus' first miracle, his mom called him out to basically create wine out of water, was at a party when obviously people were drinking. So people say, well, Jesus was at the party. Well, okay, we're like, all right. And also, Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. I have no idea what he was doing there. And they wanted him saved. So they said the angels didn't get him out. He came out. His wife didn't make it, but he did. I mean, so if you're going to be in a situation like that, make sure you've been led by the Holy Spirit to go. You have a specific purpose that you're going to bring honor and glory to God. Now, I can tell you this, because I've had this happen to me before. If you go to that party and you bring your Bible with you, and you start talking to these doggone weirdos who are trying to get themselves drunk so they can forget what their life is really like and basically self-medicate, and you start talking to them about Jesus, I'm talking about Holy Ghost revival in the middle of that party, I can tell you this because I've had it happen to me. They will tell you that it's time for you to go. I can tell you what's going to happen, you know, because you can't believe. But when you walk in there and you become a chameleon and you got the fancy clothes on, the tux on, and you're wearing the evening gown and all the stuff with your wife and you're walking around with everybody, that you're blending in. And again, that's the gospel of inclusion. And if you really feel that God is leading you to do that, going into these places, like there are people that have prison ministries, they actually go into prisons and they minister to the people. But guys, they're not drinking in the prison ministry, they're not boozing in the prison ministry, they're not bringing in whores or having children to the prison ministry, they're not doing any of that stuff. They're there because they've been locked up and you're trying to get them saved. So be very, very, very careful with this gospel of inclusion, believing you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, whenever you want to do it, and it's okay with God. That's the bottom line we always have to ask, because he said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate. Perfect, he wants us also to perfect holiness out of reverence for God. So if you feel as though you're going for a specific purpose to get somebody saved, like I would go in there if I was invited to like pray for this, I'd be in there, I'd bring my Bible with me, and the whole time I'd be in there, I'd be preaching. And anybody who'd listen to me, I'd talk to them and show what the word said. And then until they pretty much threw me out. Okay, now I can guarantee you I wouldn't be asked to come back. That would be what I would look at. But guys, think through this, because last night was New Year's Eve, and a lot of people went to a lot of parties, a lot of people got drunk, and a lot of people did a lot of things they normally don't do. So just be careful. By the way, this is a letter Karen wrote me. I love this. She loved the show yesterday about God's frequency. She goes, as you were talking about frequency and music on your show yesterday, there was also a flip side, which I'm sure you're aware of. Lucifer perverts all of God's gifts. One of the greatest secret weapons is also music and frequency, using his frequencies to manipulate the masses. As you pointed out, people with dementia can remember music. It operates outside of the thinking part of the brain. Lucifer in Ezekiel was the choir director in heaven and understands the dynamic of music, how it bypasses logic. It activates the emotive part of the brain, like the TV, which is also used for mind control. Music can be contagious. Can't get it out of your head. The Beatles followed Aleister Crowley. Elvis was deeply into theosophy. The Rolling Stones, Kiss, all deep into the occult. In fact, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, and the Grateful Dead were all manufactured by Tavistock. I know you're aware of this. Theodore Adorno, a Marxist of the Tavistock Institute, wrote all of the Beatles' music. This kind of music was chosen by the elite and their forces for a specific purpose. The whole rock and roll thing was just another psychop. The occult permeated music starting in the 50s and continued all the way until today. And basically, it's everywhere. Michael Jackson's Thriller was mesmerizing and had witchcraft allure to it. The music Celine Dion and Titanic and the music of Cats were used for this, also for the same purpose. She goes on to say that Celine Dion was used to do things like Beauty and the Beast. And what's interesting about this, it's also a song you don't get out of your head. Beauty and the Beast pushed bestiality. Also talked about this yesterday. And even had a gay character in it. Okay. The words Beauty and the Beast are no accident. Think pre-flood days. Just ever the same, ever a surprise, ever as before, pre-flood, ever just as sure as the sun will rise, tale as old as time, Nephilim, tune as old as song, Nephilim, bittersweet and strange, Nephilim, finding you could change, Nephilim, leaning and learning you were wrong. That's the rhyme of Beauty and the Beast. Now think through this for a second, and Karen does a great job. Now to Celine Dion, has a non-gender line of baby kids clothing. Austin pointed this out a few weeks ago. The clothing in black and white, gender neutral. She was basically like 12 years old, and she was like dating and wanting to date her handler. Now, who in the world is this guy's handler, and what was he doing with her at that age? She goes, as you know, our only hope is in Jesus. And she goes on to say, I'm only reading you part of the letter, I'm so thankful you don't get all crazy with the political nonsense, and that your show keeps on track, covering scriptures, things of God, and health. The only issues that can really make any difference in our short lives here, and for eternity also. Surely the Holy Spirit is leading both you and Austin because you are faithful to Him, and He keeps you on course, the course of life and not death. You don't know what a blessing and inspiration your decision to stay true to life, what really matters is to all your listeners, especially in these difficult times. Karen, thank you for writing that. I read you part of that. If you're on my personal email list, you got the entire letter. It was excellent. And Karen, as always, is an excellent writer. We had her on as a guest on the show, I believe it was last year, and she wrote the book Racing with My Shadow. Guys, it's so important that we all follow God, and we all try to bring honor and glory to Him. Because, guys, listen to me. As this time proceeds forward, we're going to be asked to compromise more and more and more. The transgenders now want to be part of the LGBTQ tune-up network. And all of the pedophiles will be part of this network. All of these sexual perversions now, we're being asked to accept them as Christians, and they're going to try to legalize things to make it okay. Just like also talked about earlier, marrying little children, if you're over in Europe now, it's legal in Germany. Guys, it's not going to stop. These guys are going to push and push and push the envelope until they bring in their new world, one world religion under Lucifer, and they take their boy, take him into the Holy of Holies in the rebuilt temple, and basically pierce him with the spear of destiny and anoint him ruler of this earth. Now, guys, that's going to happen before Jesus gets back. Before. You got to remember that. I read you the scriptures on that a few weeks ago. So this is going to be something that we're going to be dealing with, this son of perdition ruling the planet if we don't get raptured out of here. Now, a lot of people believe in pre-rapture, mid-rapture, post-rapture. The only way we're not dealing with any of this stuff is a pre-trib rapture. So guys, let's not be in such a hurry to go there. Let's try to stay here and believe God that more people will be getting saved. He's going to give us reprieve and give us another decade or another 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 years to keep and try to get more and more people saved. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely good info, no question about it at all. Also, too, in some other health news as far as from today, I found this interesting because we brought this up a couple weeks ago. But the CDC now is still investigating this polio-like virus that they said has now had 186 confirmed cases this year. They said if the current trend continues, 2020 would be the worst year for the polio-like disease. The first known outbreak of the unknown cause of origin from this 2014 disease emerged in 2014 and had basically 120 cases. It's continued to come out, and I've been intrigued by this only because it's quite sad. I mean, we have these kids that are coming down with this, but one thing that I've been trying to do some research on, and I haven't completely nailed it down yet, but from what I have found is that pretty much every single one of these kids that has come down with this acute flaccid myelitis, which is essentially this polio-like virus, have all been vaccinated, and I have not been able to find all of them yet, but I have found a significant portion of them has reported they were up to date or current on all their vaccinations, which I find quite troubling because I have yet to find a case of an individual where they have said he was not current and he did not have vaccinations or he had a religious exemption and he still came down with this. It could be, there still could be some floating around. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm still researching it, but I've been very troubled about it originally because it's very sad to see something like this in these young children when, you know, I mean, they essentially become paralyzed partially. Some of them can't function. Some of them can't even walk. And, I mean, it's really sad to see that snuffed out of a child's life at that early long of an age. But, again, it comes down to so many toxins, so many just unbelievably horrible adjuvants and all types of negative reactions that a lot of these children are continuing to have with these vaccinations, and is continuing to get worse as the CDC mandates more and more and more vaccinations on their shot schedule. It seems like almost every year they come up with more that get added, to the point now that it's a 76 different vaccination shot schedule now, which is quite troubling. So be aware of that. Understand what's going on with it. And the problem is, the thing that I see happening now is the CDC is probably going to come out in a year or two, and they're going to say, well, the only way to prevent this virus, this polio-like virus, is to make a vaccine for this virus now. And so now this has to be added to the shot schedule to prevent this from happening. And it reaches a point where people have to start asking themselves the question, are these vaccines actually helping the population, or are they hurting them? I understand the concept of vaccines and how they work, and I do believe in some cases, especially when you're dealing with some type of virus and some type of disease, they can have a very, very, very nasty effect, even deadly consequences to it, and it's very contagious and easy to spread, that vaccines can be beneficial. But we have to start demanding that vaccines be made safe, for the most part, are not contaminated with a dozen different adjuvants, including mercury, aluminum, and aborted fetal cell tissue. And we have to start demanding these things be adequately tested before we blindly inject them into our young population, only to find out later on down the road that there's unbelievably horrible unintended consequences that these children never deserved. So guys, please do your research. Please try to wake people up, even if it's only one little baby step at a time. We have to start asking the questions. What is in a vaccine? Do you know what's in this vaccine? Do you know what can happen from the adjuvant contamination in a child's body from this vaccine? These are simple questions, but they deserve truthful answers, and it's about time the United States population started asking them. Because now when we start seeing almost 200 cases of this mysterious polio-like virus that's literally, I mean, paralyzing these kids all over the country, and yet almost every child that I have found now has had up-to-date vaccine shot schedules, there has to be a question there of asking, are these two related? Are they correlated? Do we have a problem with toxic vaccines and the side effects in this country? You already know my answer to that. You have to make your own decision and ask your own question, but we have to start doing that, Dad, because this is something that's going to continually get worse if we don't start taking a stand and at least start asking the questions and demand a clean vaccine in this country.
Okay, let's go to polio vaccines on Wikipedia. We talked about Wikipedia earlier. See what they say. Polio vaccines are vaccines used to prevent poliomyelitis. There are two types in use: an inactivated poliovirus given by injection, okay, and a weakened poliovirus. That means it's still alive. I'm going to say this. This is from Wikipedia. It's alive. It's a weakened poliovirus given by mouth. The World Health Organization recommends all children be fully vaccinated against polio. These two vaccines have eliminated polio for most of the world and reduced the number of cases reported each year. Now, are you guys listening to what I just said? They're giving a live poliovirus by mouth. Now, here's what Mercola says, and I believe he's right about this, because I like a lot of stuff that Doc writes. He basically says that the polio by mouth, it's not dead, it's alive. It's giving you this live polio virus, you're taking it internally, it goes through your intestinal tract and gets into your gut. And there in the gut, it's been shown that it can reproduce and replicate for 10, 15, 20 years. I kid you not, guys. And whenever you defecate, you're basically, your feces on these kids is coming out as a live poliovirus, which is extremely contagious. Now, stop for a second. So we have a child, basically, that's been given this by mouth. His immune system is shot because he's given already been given his other dozen vaccines before he's a year old, and is waiting for the next 76. the immune system is shot. The immune system doesn't know what to do because it's got so many antibodies it's trying to produce for all of these different antigens. And so the body goes, oh no, I don't know what to do. It becomes very, very weak. And boom, snap, kid comes down with polio. Or touches the feces, boom, snap, comes down with polio. Guys, a live polio virus given by mouth is one of the most, excuse my language, asinine things that anybody could ever have done to them by some blithering idiot physician who has no sense and no ability to differentiate the truth of what he's doing to that child. A live polio? I've got a dear friend of mine, his name is Jimmy. Big guy, about 6'4", perfect condition, athlete. I mean, just one of the strongest, has the strongest handshake of any man I've ever met. Huge. Got the polio little cup to drink like we all did back in the 60s. Came down with polio. Crippled him. Now his legs are shot. He needs knee replacement. He needs hip replacement. He's almost 60 years old. Well, they didn't tell you they had that whole thing. The whole thing was contaminated with simian 40 kidney monkey cell cancer. And now we've had 100 million people get that junk, and they've been basically massively increasing the risk now of brain cancer, breast cancer, and bone cancer in my generation because of that crap they made us drink. Here's the problem that they didn't tell us. It's epigenetic. It changes your DNA. The kids who didn't receive that, who were born by the parents who did receive that, they've got the same junk in their DNA now because of the epigenetics. In other words, it's transmittable from one generation to the next generation through the sperm and through the egg. If that makes any more sense. So this is some nasty stuff, guys. And so no matter what you let them do to your children, never let them give a live polio vaccine by mouth. I'm going to read it to you again. Polio vaccines are used to prevent, I don't believe that, polio and live polio. Two types are used. In an inactivated polio virus given by injection and a weakened, not dead, it's weakened polio virus given by mouth. Who in the world was the nutbag who came up with this idea? This acute flaccid stuff that we've had all over the world. I mean, we've had tens of thousands of cases of this stuff all over the world, in India, Africa. We just don't talk about it. Why? Because the vaccine industry in our country is sacrosanct. It's not touchable because of Ronald Reagan in his vaccine bill that he did. These guys need to be held accountable for what they've done. But remember, the goal, the Jason scholars back in the 50s, this group of scientists was reducing the population of the planet. And think about this for a second. 1 in 32 children, boys now in New Jersey, have autism. Think about that for a second. And it's on an exponential growth curve right now. I mean, soon it will be 1 in 2. Then soon it'll be all children, according to Stephanie Seneff, by 2035. I mean, we're talking 15 years, 16, 17 years from now. It'll be all children are going to have either some type of symptom of autism. I mean, when will it be enough? When will the damage to the population be? But think about this for a second. A lot of the people coming in from these third world countries, they're not getting any of these vaccines.
Nope.
So all the white – did I say that? The white people and the current people that are living in the country, including the black population, which Margaret Sanger absolutely hated, which has been basically the focus of eugenics for almost 100 years now, which is ridiculous. They're getting all these vaccines, and all the white people get all the vaccines. So all they want to do, they want to have a demographic shift of people coming into our country and all the rest of us not having children, not being able to breathe anymore, and suffering from some type of horrible disease. Not a disease, it's an induced condition called autism. So guys, I don't know what to say. I don't know how we can talk about vaccinations anymore without making this whole show turn into a giant vaccine show. That's all I can say. I mean, I don't know how to say it, because almost every single day we talk about this. And why do we do this? Because what happens if someone right now is out here listening to us who's never heard this before? Right now, 2020, U.S. set for unprecedented outbreak of mysterious polio-like virus in 2020. Scientists have only 1 year to crack the mystery of the disease paralyzing American children. This is from the DailyMail.com. There have been 186 confirmed cases of acute flaccid mellitus so far in 2018, which is a type of polio. 2014 saw the first outbreak of 120 cases. The disease so far has recurred every other year, starting in late summer, with the number climbing higher and higher and higher with each outbreak, though it often coincides with respiratory infections. Scientists have no idea what causes it. Total crap. They know exactly what causes it. I know what causes it. New cases tend to taper dramatically in the following December and reemerge in August. Okay, whatever. With no cause, no treatment. Besides time, it is difficult to say what the future will hold, but if the current trend continues, 2020 could be the worst year yet for this polio-like disease. Notice they won't call it polio. They got to call it a polio-like disease. It has all the symptoms of polio. I mean, it sounds exactly like polio because it's a mutated type of the polio virus, and when they test it to see what it is, it doesn't show up as the polio they know about. It's some other mutated virus that's causing it. So, guys, it's really, really important that you make sure if you have children, if you have grandchildren, that you basically tell your families about this before they do it. By the way, Netanyahu now, the basically career criminal of Israel, says, I will not resign if the Attorney General announces his intention to indict me for all of these horrible crimes that I've done. He didn't say that, but that's what he means. In his most specific comments to date on the prospect of corruption cases forcing his ouster, Benjamin Netanyahu, career criminal, on Monday said he would not resign if the Attorney General decides on pressing charges against him before the elections. This guy is absolutely set to bring in his Sabbatean Kabbalah's Luciferian agenda, whether or not the people there in Jerusalem want him to do it or not. They basically want to take him and keep him in power for as long as they possibly can. And by the way, the top 10 reasons your children have frequent headaches, abdominal pain, ADHD, allergy, skin problems, weight problems, and mental health issues, number one is going to be their immune systems, and number one is going to be basically the vaccinations. Also, consuming too many nitrates, soy protein isolates, high fructose corn syrup, eating a bunch of candies and blue dyes and red dyes, increasing ingesting synthetic chemical sweeteners, eating conventional gluten that clogs up their intestines that can contain glyphosate, which is toxic, okay, drinking sodas, energy drinks, drinking fluorinated water, which lowers the IQ, it can cause ADHD, getting unnecessary experimental vaccines, and taking SSRI psychiatric medications, and eating school breakfasts and lunches that are heavily processed and void of nutrition. If you wonder why your kids are staying sick all the time, there you have it. Austin has a one-year-old and a two-year-old, almost a three-year-old, incredibly healthy, amazing children, incredibly smart. They eat clean, they eat organic, and they take their vitamins. Austin, what do you think?
You're exactly right. I mean, there's so many factors that you have to start looking at now, and not just with your own health, but if you have children, you have to look at that as well. And I mean, that's why I'm so picky about what goes in my kids' body. And, you know, they still get little treats sometimes, but I always try to make sure they're as clean as I can get them, you know, something organic on the lines of that. And I always try to make sure they're getting non-GMO food and they're getting proper supplementation. That's why we came out with the Ultimate Multiple Chewable a year and a half ago, because I wanted something that really was super clean. I knew exactly what was in it whenever we had the manufacturing facility put it together, and it was something that I 100% felt comfortable in giving my children as well. And you can also use the powder. I've used the powder a lot of times in little protein shakes or smoothies that I've given to Hunter as well. You can throw a scoop of that in there, because you have to continually keep their immune system and their body filled with as many nutrients as possible. And on top of that, keeping out those nasty toxins. Food coloring is one of the most common preservatives that get fed to children on a regular basis, because so many people eat that stuff and they put it in children's food because it makes the food brighter and cooler and funner and more cool to eat, and their tongues get colored, whatever it's blue or green, whatever it is, and they think it's cool. Guys, it's not cool. It's a synthetic petroleum-based preservative toxin that's called food coloring. They've shown multiple times in studies that it's a basically known carcinogen in a lot of these food colorants, that it increases ADHD symptoms, that it causes issues with attention issues, as far as attention deficit issues. These are problems that occur and a lot of times completely subside when the children has their diet cleaned up, meaning they take those toxins out of their diet and they add in proper nutrients like the children's cod liver oil liquid that we have and the children's multiple. Those two supplements in and of themselves are probably the easiest, most basic, simplistic stack you can give your child. The cod liver oil and the ultimate multiple covers a multitude of different things, and then making sure you keep that high fructose corn syrup, like we talked yesterday, out of their diet and keeping the food coloring out of their diet, because the food coloring and the high fructose corn syrup are the two most common additives, preservatives, toxins, so to speak, that they put in a lot of those kids' food. The thing about it is, what I've learned now, and I've already done this with Lana and I, Hunter usually eats what we eat 80 to 90% of the time. I'm not going to go out and give him a bunch of junk food or a bunch of different food and cater to him to let him eat what he wants to eat when we're already making meals that are incredibly clean, whether it be organic green beans, organic rice, or sweet potatoes, or eggs, or, you know, wild-caught fish. If you raise your children up on those foods, it's completely normal. Instead of catering and saying, well, okay, you can get some processed pink slime chicken nuggets tonight because that's what you wanted, or we'll go order you some Domino's pizza again because that's what you wanted. No, guys, they need to eat as clean as they possibly can right now, because they are the future generation that are going to continually take over this country as we, you know, phase out, and we need them as healthy and as smart and as mentally acute as we can keep them, Dad.
Absolutely. In fact, the children, quite frankly, guys, your children and your grandchildren listening to the show right now, they're going to be some of the only ones left in this country in 20 years that are actually capable of reproduction.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds really weird right now, but that's just a fact, because you're not doing the Gardasil and all the other stuff. So it's one of those things. I mean, we've got to do something. It's like I talked about earlier in the show, we have to have a positive outlook on this stuff, because guys, if God gives you the information, he's going to hold you accountable and maintain the information. I mean, that's what the word says. I mean, but I had people tell me before to take them in seminars. Well, I can't come to the seminar anymore because I don't want to know the truth, because I'll be, you know, held accountable for the truth. So that's kind of a silly way of looking at it. And they didn't come back to the seminars because they didn't want to hear anymore. But guys, we can't be that way. We've got to want to know what the truth is. Guys, I pray that God continues to bless you, that he keeps you, that he lets his face shine upon you, that he's gracious upon you, that you're blessed in every area of your life, and that 2019 is going to be your best year ever, that you're going to walk in divine health. You're going to have tremendous relationships, and that you're going to have an incredible relation with the King of the universe through Christ Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. We really appreciate all the support that everybody's continually given us. I'm excited about this year. It's going to be another great year, as last year was as well. We have to continue to fight the good fight. We have to continue to stay educated, and we have to continue to be vocal about our beliefs and our convictions on every aspect, from biblical to health to current news topics. Be versed, be educated, be well-read, understand what you're talking about, and always have something to back up your belief, guys. Thank you so much for your support. If you need anything, check out the website, healthmasters.com, up and going as always. And, of course, check out the product of the week, the Magnesium Brain Food, over 20% off. That sale will be ending tomorrow morning as product of the week. And the next current winner, which looks like it's probably going to be Magnesium Body Balm unless something changes overnight, will be changing tomorrow. So if you wanted that Magnesium Brain Food on sale, one of the best products we have, be sure to check it out and get it tonight. If you guys need anything, email us, call us. We love you. We appreciate you. Have another awesome, safe, blessed night. Enjoy January 1st, 2019, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.